The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
How do you choose a good seminary? Well, that's one of the things we're going to discuss on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us for the show today. So we're taking questions from listeners just like you, and we get questions of all kinds. You can send us your questions through email, radio@faithalone.org. Now, before we get to the discussion, I want to remind you about our National Bible Conference, which is coming up very soon. You can find out more about that by going to faithalone.org. Click on events. Well, let's get to our exciting discussion for today with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, welcome to the show. Let's see if we can get two questions done in this show, Bob. Here is a first question. This is from Lance. And he's specifically asking, what do you guys think about Chafer Theological Seminary? But maybe we could expand upon that. Neither of us have ever gone there.
I did many years ago teach one class.
Oh, you taught there?
Yeah, well, it was a two-week class on advanced hermeneutics, advanced Bible study methods. And that was back in about 2002, maybe, something
okay,
like that.
Okay.
So I have, but that was back when it was still in California, when George Meisinger was still the president. But I do know Andy Woods, the president, and Robbie Dean, the president of the board, and think very highly of both of them. And I have good feelings for the most part about the school. It's conservative, it's dispensational. It's a school that stands very strongly for the inerrancy of Scripture,
yeah,
for the truthfulness of God's Word, for verse-by-verse Bible exposition. All those things are terrific, and I appreciate all those things. In terms of free grace issues, I think Andy and Robbie are, for the most part, in essential agreement with what we're saying. They might not agree on every single point, but in basic agreement. I don't know about the entire faculty, but at least with those two leaders of the group, I believe they're essentially in agreement.
Certainly the namesake of the school, Lewis Sperry Chafer, you know.
They picked a great name. They surely did.
It was also kind of a hit, I think, on Dallas Seminary, because Chafer was the founder of Dallas Seminary, and so now they're naming a seminary after Chafer, I guess, to more follow in his original vision?
Well, I think it was a kind of a slight knock on Dallas Seminary that it has departed from Chafer in many ways.
Right. All right. Is there anything more to say about that?
I think the main thing in terms of seminary education is try to find a school that gives you the balance between teaching you truth and teaching you a method to be analytical and to learn for yourself.
Mm.
So that it'd be awful hard to find a school that everything they say is going to be right.
Right.
If you found that, you wouldn't be learning how to analyze anything because you'd just be memorizing and you'd be indoctrinated, right?
Right, right, right.
But on the other hand, if you have a school that's teaching you methodology and how to think, but yet they're teaching error all the time, that's no good either.
So right, that'll wear you down.
The best is to find something where it's mostly teaching you the truth, and you're willing to accept the fact there's going to be some of the faculty that disagree with other faculty and some things that are being taught that aren't quite right. And that was certainly true when I was at Dallas Seminary. I had to be discerning.
Right.
But fortunately for me, during that time when I was there between 78 and 85, most of the faculty were very conservative, and at least a significant percentage of them were either free grace or free grace friendly.
Okay, yeah. Well, one of the tough things about seminary is you go in and you probably don't know very much. So you don't know enough truth in order to be discerning.
That was the problem I had. I basically had to rely on the fact that God would give me insight, and he did.
Right.
But it's difficult because every year you learn what you didn't know.
Exactly.
As you learned more, you realize, wow,
yeah,
I still have a long way to go.
Right. And a lot of those questions are kind of like the questions we've asked here on this show over 800 episodes. Some are clear cut, but then some are, you're still struggling with those, you know, questions years and years and years later after seminary. Seminary can be a shaking. It can just shake you up in terms of you'll be shocked at how much you don't know. You'll be shocked at how many questions there are. And people can find that disconcerting.
And people have lost their faith in seminary. Someone like Dr. Bart Ehrman started as a conservative fundamentalist, or at least evangelical, and now you know, he's lost his faith entirely. There are lots of people who have either lost their faith entirely or at least abandoned their original conviction. So some people would say stay away from theological education because it's dangerous. I would say, no, theological education can be edifying. You just need to be very careful where you go. And I would recommend picking a conservative school and also being discerning. Don't just say, I'm going in there to believe everything I'm told. I have to analyze everything I'm told.
And please don't spend $100,000 on seminary.
Isn't that what it costs? I don't know.
It can, right?
It didn't when I was there.
Not when you were there.
It's gotten expensive.
But nowadays.
I guess I would say one other thing, Sean, light of what you just said, and that is don't take out loans for your theological education. In my opinion, you should graduate from Bible college or seminary debt-free so that you are enabled to go right to the mission field or enabled to go right into a pastorate.
Yeah.
You don't have to take a secular job in order to work for 10 years and pay off
all this debt. Yeah, absolutely. I always tell people, graduate education in the humanities is a very expensive hobby. It's a super expensive hobby. It's not going to pay. You're not going to graduate and be making all kinds of money based on that. You're probably going to make money based on whatever degree, practical degree you got before. Like if you went to engineering, then you went to seminary or something.
Right.
So go someplace that you can afford. And luckily with all this online stuff, it's a lot more affordable options nowadays.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. Okay. Here's another question from Florin. And Florin asks, does God put into place and take down every single king, leader, president, authority in every nation, past, present, and future? Am I to understand that looking at the world today, and there are some pretty bad leaders, that God put them into power?
That's how I would understand certain verses in the Psalms and elsewhere, that God puts the kings into power and God can remove them. So when we see really bad rulers like Stalin or Hitler or Idi Amin or Pol Pot or Mao Zedong, well, what we say is they had their time in the sun, but God removed them.
Hmm.
In many cases, their removal was rather violent. Someone like Hitler ends up killing himself in a bunker in Berlin because the war didn't go the way he thought it would go.
This whole question, basically, I think Florin is asking is, this is part of the problem of evil, I think. The wider question, why is there evil in the world? If
yeah, what's
a good
that?
God?
Is that called theodicy? Is that the...
Theodicy is trying to explain, justify God by explaining why there's evil in the world. So the explanation, the answer to the problem is a theodicy.
But the problem is there's
just
evil
the
in the world.
Of evil. Yeah, and so you can look at these leaders, like people you just mentioned, and there are some evil leaders now doing horrible things to thousands and millions of people. And to say, for Paul, let's say, to say, you know, all the authorities that exist are appointed by God, Romans 13, verse 1, it does raise the issue. How does a good God do this? How does a good God let it happen, let alone appoint these guys?
And when Paul wrote, they had Caesars, and they were very bad Caesars.
Oh, yeah.
I believe Nero was in power around the time Paul is writing. There's kind of an interesting balance here, because Florin, on the one hand, yes, God puts them in power. On the other hand, God expects us to pray for them and about them, 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we are to vote. We are to carry out our civic obligations, and so to some degree, we get rulers we vote for. Now, not all countries are like that. If you're in a dictatorship, you don't get any vote.
Well, you get a vote. It just doesn't
count. Oh, yeah, that's good. Or if you're in a communist country, I guess there's one person
to
vote for.
You get to vote for the one person.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing is, we are very, very fortunate that we're in a country that's a democracy and that's capitalist.
We get to vote for one of two people.
It might be nice.
How did that set up?
It might be nice if we had more options.
As a Canadian, I got to say, I'm American, but as someone who grew up in Canada, personally, I don't think the two-party system is that much better than a one-party system.
Right.
Because I look at both parties and I think to myself, neither of these parties really represent me. I'd rather have a third party, but that's like throwing away your vote, I think.
Right.
Whereas in the parliamentary system, you actually get a chance to have like one of your people in the actual kind of
coalition.
Parliament.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah. So how would you answer? How does God allow? Why does he do that?
Well, I think ultimately it's because we're in an interim age between the age of innocence before Adam and Eve sinned and the coming of the millennium. And in between that time, there are several dispensations in there, but all during that time, God allows evil. It's limited evil, right? The Holy Spirit is the restrainer who is restraining evil in our world today. And although evil is allowed, God doesn't allow unrestrained evil. And why he allows as much as he does, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a mystery above our pay grade. All right, any questions, any further thoughts about that? I mean, some Christians...
Are you asking the listener if they want to ask a follow-up question?
Yeah. Maybe I should, ask you. So some people would say, listen, these are bad dudes. Oh, you should not participate in that. You should not vote. You should not, maybe you shouldn't even pay your taxes. You shouldn't participate in that type of
evil. Yeah, I've met people like that, but the problem is Jesus says, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, when he was asked, should we pay taxes? And it seems to me the answer is, yes, we should pay taxes. That's what the Lord says. Even if Caesar is not a righteous ruler, we're to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. So we are to pay our taxes, and we are to render obedience to our government unless and until the government commands us to do something contrary to the word of God.
And I can think of Paul and Barnabas. Yeah. They were told not to preach Christ, and they're like, well, we're going to do this anyways. Was that Peter?
Well, that's Peter and the apostles, I think, in Acts chapter 5, and, they're like, we must obey God rather than men.
Right. So there is room for civil disobedience when the government is explicitly calling you to disobey Christ.
Right. But other than that, we're not called to civil disobedience.
Yeah.
Which is what not paying our taxes is a part of,
I think. Right, yeah. Well, good question, Florin, and it's a tough one. That is a tough one. It's part of the problem of evil, and I guess we'll just have to ask God what was going on when we get to heaven. All right, if you have any questions, send us a line at radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question or a comment or some feedback, and if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. We hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we look forward to seeing you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.